Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn how you can tee it up for the troops and get an update from Minnesota's Veterans of Foreign Wars. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here, at home, in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities, to our Army National Guard soldiers stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partner. As a community partner, the Minnesota National Guard is a responsible steward of taxpayer dollars. And in fiscal year 2017, the Minnesota National Guard contributed more than $500 million to the Minnesota economy. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter-drug program. And in our role as an emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, or wildfires. When I'm in the community, people often stop me to offer me a handshake and thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude. But I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Tim Wakescheid, who is the president of Tee It Up for the Troops. Tim, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Tim, for those few of our listeners that might not have heard of Tee It Up for the Troops, can you tell us what you do and how long you've been around?
Sure, Tom. Tee It Up for the Troops was formed in 2005, and our organization's mission is to work with volunteer teams not only here in Minnesota but also across the country to primarily organize golf events. And those golf events are really kind of two-pronged objectives. One is to fundraise so that we can provide critical funding to other veteran service organizations that we align with so that they can spend less time fundraising and more time delivering their services. But secondly, to help connect veterans to their communities when they come out of their time in service and they're trying to make that transition back to civilian life by including them in our various events. It gives them an opportunity to kind of make some new connections and build a network and also just kind of feel at home again.
Tim, you must have done just dozens and dozens of events over the years.
We have. I think we just crossed 400 different events that we've launched since 2005, and now we'll host over 60 different events across the USA and 12 here in Minnesota, so we stay busy.
So in 2018, how many local events are we going to have?
We're looking at 12 in Minnesota. We've got a group of events here in the Twin Cities area, but we also have events in Rochester, Mankato, St. Cloud, Detroit Lakes, and some other areas that are outside the metro area. So we've got this state pretty well covered and proud of the great work that all these volunteer teams do on behalf of our service members and veterans.
Tim, your organization has built up the expertise on how to put these tournaments together and run them and find sponsors and such, but you partner with local groups in order to put them on, correct?
We do. That's really the backbone of our organization is finding teams of volunteers that want to rally together and work together and then reach out into their communities to find sponsors and golfers and donors and other volunteers that want to support the effort. That's how we keep our costs very, very low. And then we can give back a really high percentage to the organizations that we align with, not only here in Minnesota, but across the country as well. But we as an organization, we provide templates and best practices and all those kind of things. So they're not spinning their wheels, that they're actually productive as a team and as a volunteer group that when they go out there, as you know, Tom, yourself, putting on a golf event is a lot of work. And I've seen a lot of groups that have spent a lot of time and haven't really had a lot at the end of the rainbow to give back. So we try to help them avoid those pitfalls and make the most of the opportunity.
Tim, I don't know how you do it, but the golf tournaments that I run for a charitable organization, we start on next year's tournament the day after we finish the last one. I'm sure you do the same.
We do the same.
And you can help the local organizations understand how to find sponsors, how to find silent auction items, and how to put the whole event together.
That's really our role, primarily, is to kind of help them along in that process. And hopefully we've got leadership within those volunteer teams that do have strong connections within their community that they can, you know, call, tap on the shoulder and say, hey, we need you to come out and sponsor this event and help support our veterans and military families. And fortunately, we've had a pretty good run through that model.
We're speaking with Tim Wegscheid, president of Tee It Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Tim, your 11 events that you're doing here in Minnesota, can you tell us what happens with the proceeds, the net proceeds from each event? I understand part of it stays local and part of it comes in to Tee It Up for the Troops. And what charitable organizations benefit from your efforts?
Well, Tom, I think that's one thing that we've amended over the years, and it's actually worked out very, very well. But what we do is whatever community we host the event in and that volunteer committee, whatever net proceeds there are at the end of the event, they can take 50% of that and allocate it into local community, Minnesota-based veterans nonprofits that they want to support and they want to put some extra support behind so that they can deliver their mission. And then the other 50%, we allocate to veteran service organizations that are helping veterans all across the country, not only here in Minnesota, but all across the country. So we work with great groups like the Fisher House Foundation. We work with a group called Warfighter Sports, which does a lot with sports rehabilitation and golf, and Hope for the Warriors, which is another group that does a lot of family-based services for our veterans. But they've got kind of a national platform, and they've got national programming that can reach veterans all across the USA.
So really a dual purpose. You can support local organizations with portion of the fees and then support some of the national organizations with another portion. And just like you do with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, you've even leveraged it further because part of the local funds and part of the national funds came to us. And then we put on another golf tournament using those funds and raise even more money to help Minnesota military families. And what you've done there is just outstanding, Tim. Great work.
Well, we're very proud to support what the Minnesota Military Family Foundation does. They're a great organization. And so some of our local event organizers have made that decision to support it from their local event proceeds. And then as a national organization, we also take grant requests from organizations here in Minnesota and in other places, and we can dip into that bucket as well.
Tim, I know you have an annual reunion event. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that is a real honor for us to host. It's not a fundraising event. It is a give back, a healing, a rehabilitative type event that we just completed our 7th annual. And basically the concept behind that is we reunite men and women who served together who were separated due to battlefield injuries or to other reasons that were beyond their control. Maybe they were rehabbing together at Walter Reed or Brooke Army Medical Center, and then one was well enough to go home. And now they're separated, and they've kind of lost that strength. They've lost that bond that they had when they were serving together on the battlefield or when they were rehabbing. So we bring them back together. And
bring them down to Florida in the wintertime, too.
We do that. And we not only our platform has always been golf, so we do a lot of instructive things around the game, but we also bring in a lot of professionals that help connect these veterans that are being reunited with resources, counseling kind of things, just things that take them another step forward in life and in their transition as they come home from the battlefield.
Tim, we have to take a short break. When we come back in the next segment, Tim's brought a special guest with us today, and we'll learn more about Tee It Up for the Troops. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Tim Wegscheid, president of Tee It Up for the Troops. And Tim, you've told us that there's about 11 events here in Minnesota, and part of the funds are spent locally to support veterans' issues and veterans' causes, and part of it go to national issues. What are your key areas of veterans' support in giving out this money?
Tom, we've donated to over 350 different veteran service organizations since our inception in 2005, but we've really tried to narrow down our areas of focus and really identify core areas that we feel are critical at this stage of our veterans as they transition back home. And I'll just run through those quickly. One that we've spent a lot of time in, obviously because of a golf platform, is sports and golf rehabilitation. When men and women come home, whether it's physical injuries or invisible wounds, getting back out there and active with sports is something that can be really helping with rehab and just kind of reacclimation. Another area of support is related to PTSD and traumatic brain injury support and supporting programs that help veterans with those issues. Suicide prevention, which is obviously a key topic and one that we're spending a lot of time on as well. We're also working with a lot with career planning and employment issues. As a lot of folks know, unemployment among the veteran community is higher, much higher than the general civilian population. So we're spending time on that as well, in addition to housing and homelessness. And our sixth pillar of support relates to just supporting the families and the caregivers while loved ones are deployed or while they're suffering and maybe coming back home and need that extra time and support, whether it be emergency financial support or other things that help that family. And a strong family is a strong warrior. So those are kind of the six areas that we've identified as an organization to really put our focus on in helping our veterans and military families.
Well thought out and well done, Tim. You brought a special guest with us today. You want to introduce him?
I'd be happy to. He is a special guest, and he's a special friend. Derek Goodridge served our country very proudly in the United States Marine Corps, had strong plans to have a military career, but he had a fateful day in Afghanistan where he ran into an enemy that won that small battle. But he's a great guy, and he's been a good friend of our family and our organization, and he has used golf as a big part of his rehabilitation and reacclimation to civilian life. But he's someone that's been closely connected to our organization and our local activities here in Minnesota. So, Derek Goodridge.
Derek, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Appreciate it being here.
I understand you graduated from Columbia Heights High School.
I did back in 2006.
And I understand 9/11 2001 impacted your life a bit.
Just a little bit. I was actually on a foot patrol that day, and somebody else had stepped on an IED pressure plate. I took a little bit of the force. The other guy took a little bit of the force, but ever since that day, I've had 30-something surgeries, right arm amputation, traumatic brain injury, right lung collapsed, both legs were completely destroyed, and then now it's still trying to heal, but I use golf as a rehab.
Now, Derek, I understand that you joined the Marine Corps because of the attack on 9/11/2001, and you were about to get out of the Marine Corps, and you decided you wanted to go be deployed, and you did deploy and re-upped. And then, of course, you had that fateful day that you'll never forget, of course. How did the other two guys make it?
They did. One is a triple amputee, and then the other one just had shrapnel to the face and the stomach area. So we all got sent home, and then two out of the three of us actually used golf as a rehab.
All right. Now, how long did it take you to get to the point where you could get some new normal and get moving again? And when did you start thinking about golfing with one arm?
It was probably about 7-8 months after injury, and my rec therapist down in California, she was, "Derek, you should try golfing." I kind of look at her like, how am I supposed to golf with one hand? So from that point on, I took it as a challenge. And so from that point on, it's hitting balls after balls after balls after balls on the driving range. And now I actually am pretty decent at it and go out and do all these other events with Tee It Up for the Troops and actually challenge other people to try golfing with one hand.
And to make matters a little bit worse, you were right-handed and you lost your right arm. So
yes.
Now you're a lefty.
Yes. So
that had to take a little doing too.
A little bit, yes.
Learn how to write, learn how to get dressed, learn how to do all kinds of things.
Yep.
And even play golf.
Yes, sir. The hardest part was probably learning how to write. I literally felt like I was back in kindergarten again, tracing the letters for the whole alphabets. I did that for 6 to 8 months straight every day until I actually could learn how to write again.
I'm sure for our listeners and for myself, I'm right-handed. I wouldn't want to try to learn all over again and do it as a lefty. So good on you for getting that done. I understand you've got a personal motto. Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yes, sir.
Is that working pretty well for you?
It does. I definitely challenge a lot of people to doing things. And if you can do it, I can do it better than you can.
Last year, Tim brought Scott Adams with us, and we met him, and he golfs a lot. I understand you golf with him quite a bit, too.
I do. Scott is one of my best friends, and he's twice my age, but because we use golf as a rehab together, and us brothers are supporting each other out there, and we get along great.
He's twice your age and twice your size, and he has both arms, but can you
beat
him?
That is definitely a true fact.
Can you beat him?
We stay pretty neck and neck.
Good for you.
It goes back and forth.
Now, what does it mean to you to be associated with Tee It Up for the Troops?
It means a lot to me. They've actually done a lot. When I first came home, Jody actually reached out to me and, hey, Derek, do you want to come golf with us? I know you were using it as a rehab out there. We want you to continue it out here. So when I first started golfing with Tee It Up, I was doing once, maybe twice a year. And now I do almost every tournament that Tee It Up does or has, including down Mankato, Detroit Lakes. I go everywhere for it.
So you're out traveling with Scott quite a bit because he goes to a bunch of those.
Yes, sir.
And I saw you smiling when Tim was talking about that event that he happens down in Florida. And was that a January event?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a little fun down there?
Yes, the sponsors take very well care of you.
And it's all for veterans that have experienced some issue in the wars.
Yes, sir. So my first year was down there a couple years ago. I went down there with my brother just because he was kind of my pick-me-up at the time. And so everything happened there. And then I went down there this past year by myself. And just being down there with everybody else, it brings that brotherhood back that you don't have anymore because obviously you're out of the military. But being there, it makes you feel like you're alive again, just being able to golf with good friends, and then whatever happens at night.
Derek, you're an inspiration. Semper Fi, Marine.
Hurrah. Thank you.
Tim, you've got some great guys. Every time you send a group out to golf with us at the MMFF Golf Classic, we've got gentlemen like this Marine here who don't let anything slow them down. If our listeners want to get involved with Tee It Up for the Troops, how do they do it?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website, which is teeitupforthetroops.org. Tee It Up as if you're on the golf course, teeitupforthetroops.org. There are many, many different ways to get involved with our organization. Obviously, all of our events are volunteer-driven. We can always use folks that are involved in the planning process, but also on the day of the event. We have folks that can help with registrations and all those different things. You can also go to our website just to learn more about us as an organization. If you want to do any financial contributions, we will be sharing that at a very high rate. Our overhead is in the low single digits, and so a high percentage is going out to support our veterans and military families.
Your website, once again, Tim?
TeeItUpForTheTroops.org.
And you've got an all-star board of directors that does a great job of spreading that money all over the country and keeping a lot of it right here at home in Minnesota.
They do a great job, and it's a challenge because we do get more grant requests than we can really facilitate. So we really need to spend a lot of time vetting and making sure the organizations that we're aligning with are doing the right things by our veterans, and that they're efficient and that they're actually putting those dollars into active use day in and day out.
Tim, we just got a few seconds left. What does it mean to you to be the president of an organization doing all this great work?
It's an honor every day. My dad was in the Army, and I got many family members that are in service, and to be able to, you know, work and align with all these different communities across the country to give back. I mean, the needs of our veterans are still pretty extreme. We need to continue to help them when they come back home to make that transition and to feel at home again, and just being productive members of society. And anything we can do, we're ready to help, and we appreciate all the different organizations that we work with to make that happen.
Tim, keep it up. Keep up the good work. And gentlemen, thanks for joining us today in Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Please remember to go to teeitupforthetroops.com to learn more about this great organization. Coming up next, we're going to visit with Minnesota's Veterans of Foreign Wars. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from Minnesota's Veterans of Foreign Wars. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The first Medal of Honor our nation's highest military award for valor in action against an enemy force, was presented on March 25, 1863. The U.S. Congress designated March 25th of each year as the National Medal of Honor Day. Since the Civil War, brave men and women from the state of Minnesota have answered the call to defend and protect the freedoms we hold dear. Several have gone beyond this call to duty, risking injury and loss of life. Medal of Honor recipients have distinguished themselves from others at the risk of their own lives above and beyond the call of duty with courage and valor. A plaque located in the Court of Honor at the Minnesota State Capitol grounds serves as a permanent marker that honors the 56 Medal of Honor recipients associated with the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalhoub. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Rick Bugbee, who is the Department Commander for the Veterans of Foreign Wars here in Minnesota. Rick, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Rick, for those folks that might not know you after you've been in office for quite a bit of a year already, but you you were a member of the Air Force.
I was, from 1968 to 1972.
And how did you get to the Veterans of Foreign Wars?
That's a long story. But no, it really, right after getting discharged, I started going to actually the Veterans Day celebrations at our local VFW and met some good older veterans that talked me into joining. And
they signed you up.
That's where I am.
I know that story well. They did it to me, too. Now, Rick, can you tell us how many members and how many posts do we have in Minnesota?
We're down to about 218 posts in Minnesota now. We're just shy of 39,000. Last year we had 39,615, to be exact.
And how are we doing this year?
And we're at 94.02% of that right now.
So you think you're going to have a pretty good year then?
We're having a pretty good year.
Now, Rick, I understand we just had a big event up at the Capitol called Vets Day on the Hill. How'd it go?
It went great. It almost made you have goosebumps. I didn't get to see a lot of the people above me, but the legislators that got up and talked said they had never seen that big a crowd of all veterans ever, and they estimated over 1,000 people.
So did our vets that showed up at the Capitol think they had a good time talking to their elected officials?
They did. I counted 10 busloads out there. Plus all the people that drove in, people that drove commuted in, and it was great. We had breakout sessions this year for something new where the legislators actually came in to see us, and we could discuss local issues for each district.
And so the legislators were in different rooms, so you could go see your elected official and
Correct. Talk
to them about the slate of legislation that we wanted to promote this year.
Correct. And several of them got informed that they didn't things they didn't know about.
So it was enlightening.
It was enlightening for both sides.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had a great day. Can you tell us what type of activities you got coming up in the VFW this year?
Well, next weekend we have our, under the youth side, which I am also the state chairman of, we have our Bantam Hockey Tournament, which will be held in Moorhead next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 23rd, 4th, and 5th. And that is our 63rd annual, I believe.
That's a pretty good record.
Well, we have 8 of the finest Bantam teams from all over the state coming in there. So it is good hockey, if you like hockey.
And you got some other events coming up this spring yet?
Yes. The week after that, I have my commander's testimonial. It'll be held in Wilmer. We have Poppy Day coming up in the state. So please donate to the poppies. We do not sell them. We distribute them. We take donations.
We're talking to Rick Bugbee, who is the Department Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Rick, I bet you've visited a lot of the posts already.
I have been trying to. It doesn't always work because we have so many posts. We have 9 districts. We try to get every officer tries to get to each district at least once. I've seen a lot of people. I've reacquainted myself with a lot of people I've known over the last 40 years.
Are you having fun doing it?
I'm having fun doing it.
And you're putting on a lot of miles, I bet.
Well, not a lot of miles. I've only put on a little over 5,000 this year since the 1st of January. So,
well, you better tune it up and keep going, Rick.
Well, the next 2 months are the busiest months, so that's okay.
So what's been the most rewarding so far?
Just when people do what they do for the veterans. That's why I'm in this. what can I do for my fellow veteran? We all know that a lot of the Vietnam veterans are suffering from different ailments, PTSD, Agent Orange. You know, they have the tendency, everybody has a tendency to want to just end life. Thankfully, we're down to about 20% or 20 per day that take their own lives, which is a low number now compared to what it used to be. So
well, VFW is working hard on helping with suicide prevention.
Yes, the National Commanders the last 2 years been that has been a strength of theirs. They've been trying to push that and try to get people to help when they need it.
So Rick, when is the convention when they elect you're the next guy to take over?
I believe June 11th I will be done.
So you've got another quarter to go.
Yep.
And for all our listeners, he's smiling a big smile. So what are you going to do when you're done being the department commander?
Well, we actually serve on the council for one more year as past department commander for whatever they want us to do.
You get to relax a little bit that year, though.
I get to relax a little bit. I also coordinate all the youth and veteran activities in the state, whether it's baseball, hockey, bowling, golf. I do all. I'm in charge of all that, too. So.
And you're smiling about that. You must enjoy that part.
I love it.
Well, that's great. Well, if you had a chance to do this all again, would you do it?
I would do it sooner.
Sooner? You waited too long, Rick?
No, I didn't wait too long, but I told my wife I would not do the chairs until our kids were old enough to almost be through high school. So I waited.
So you started this up in Fergus Falls. Do you still live up that way?
I live back there again, yes. I moved back there in 2007. I was gone for about 5 years and down here in the Twin Cities, and I love it back up there. That's where my wife is from. So.
And, of course, we have a veterans home up in Fergus Falls. Do you get a chance to go over there once in a while?
I do, and usually it's for an honor or something else, a dinner or something, but I do try to get up there whenever I can.
Give a little speech, maybe, and now that you're the department commander?
Oh, yeah, they tried to get that out of me, too.
You're laughing about that. You're good at giving speeches, Rick?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to give notes or take notes and give what I say on paper. I'd rather have it come out of the heart when I look at the people I'm talking to.
Well, that's always the best way to do it. Now, we just got about a minute and a half left. As department commander of the VFW, you're also a member of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the commanders of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, and you get together once a month and you work on legislation and coordinate activities. Has that been fulfilling?
It has. I'm surprised that the 9 commanders actually settle on 5 major issues this year, and that's great because if you can get those 5 through Congress, it's a great thing.
Well, of course, we're going to have Jerry Walters on the show next week, and he's from the Marine Corps League. Does he always agree with you?
Most of the time. He says his piece.
Well, we'll ask him next week, Rick, and see how that goes. Well, one of the things you must enjoy over there is when you have your meetings, you get to see the commissioner pretty often.
We do. You know, I've known Larry for quite a few years, you know, and just by him coming to our VFW conventions and conferences, and it's nice to see him whenever I do.
You know, he spent a lot of his life serving the troops and serving in the military and quite a few of the last years as the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'll bet you guys really enjoy seeing him.
We do, and we will miss him when he's gone.
Well, you know, everybody's got to retire sooner or later.
I know, and God bless him, and I hope the best. Hope he's got about 30 more years of life behind him.
I hope you're right. Rick, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about your commander's project. We're speaking to Rick Bugbee, the department commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Rick Bugbee, who's the department commander for Minnesota's Veterans of Foreign Wars. And we've learned all about the VFW and the membership, and you're having a pretty good membership year so far.
We are doing fine.
All right. Now, it's tradition that when the department commander is elected, that when you come in there, you have what's called a commander's project for your year. What did you choose for your project for this year?
I chose the 5 veterans home in Minnesota because they're always in need of different minor toiletries or they're always trying to remodel something. Fergus Falls, for example, is putting on a new greenhouse for the residents to grow plants and work in, and every one of them has some sort of project. And along with our state president, Gail Brecky, out of Moorhead, we made that a joint project, so it works even better.
So it's joint for the VFW and the auxiliary. And what you're trying to do is raise funds as much as you can during the course of the year?
Yes, that is what it is. We did have a parade of checks at our midwinter conference in January, and we took in over $20,000 just that day.
Oh, very good, Commander. Now, how do you go about raising the money?
We just put it out in our general orders monthly, and Gale actually has a monthly raffle going on through their gambling manager. That part of the funds go back to that project also.
So have you got specific improvements that you want to use the funds for, or do you leave that up to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
We leave that up to actually the volunteer service coordinators at each veterans home.
Okay.
We will split it evenly and let them go where they need it the most.
Rick, I think this is the first year that I've heard that the VFW and the auxiliary have cooperated on the same project. I'm sure they've done it in the past, but it must give a big boost to your fundraising.
Well, it does, and Gail and I are out of the same VFW district besides, so we've known each other for many, many years, and it just works better that way. If you work together, you cooperate, and it works better in all of our offices, too.
So that means you're in cahoots.
Yes, we are.
and for a great cause to help bring a little life and a little happiness to the veterans homes all over Minnesota.
Yeah, and they need it. I mean, the recreation programs in those veterans homes are really an important part of them, and we're happy to be able to help them go places, go out to meals, whatever it takes.
Now, when I've belonged to the VFW over in Hopkins, and I've been a little busy with the radio show, so I haven't been down there much lately, but we used to have a pretty good contingent that go to the veterans' homes for mingo nights and things like that. Do your VFW memberships go out to those homes quite a bit?
We do. We probably draw in about six or seven VFWs from around Fergus Falls within an hour and a half radius, and several legions, several cootie organizations.
I'm one of those too.
Oh yes, I am too.
So do they still put on like a wild game feed once in a while?
They do. The cooties puts on the pheasant and or venison. I correct myself. And the DAV usually puts on the pheasant. So
there's a lot of activities throughout the course of the year to bring the younger vets to see the vets that are in living in the homes.
It is, and not all of the vets in the home are old either. There's some younger than us. So
well, that's things happen, don't they?
Yes.
Well, it's great that can you imagine if you're living in a home, you're there for a reason, and it's not a very good reason. And days turn into nights, and turn into days, and any time you can have some kind of special activity, it's got to be a good day for them, isn't it?
Right. And I know at Fergus Falls, we're very fortunate. We have some great volunteers. And I was telling your associate that my mother's 94 years old, and she goes probably 4 days a week to volunteer.
Well, good for her. That means there's room for you to go volunteer for decades yet.
Rick. Yes.
Well, Rick, we only got about a minute left. Okay. What would you like to tell our listeners all over Minnesota about the VFW and your membership and the great work you do?
Well, next month we're having a stand down in Fergus Falls, and we have those all over the state at different times. And one of the goals is mine, as with the table that I'll have for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, is giving the information out, giving statistics out of what each war we've had, and trying to encourage people to join the VFW. We are the oldest wartime organization around, and we need younger members to help out. Otherwise, some of our programs are going to go down the hill eventually, without more members to help us.
And if some of those younger members join, then they can add their membership to the totals for events like when you go up to Veterans Day on the Hill, because you're representing all of those VFW members when you're up there talking to the legislatures.
We are, and we're one of the biggest VFWs in the nation as far as numbers, and we'd like to stay there. We don't want to drop.
Rick, I'd like to thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you.
As Rick Bugby, the commander of Minnesota's Veterans of Foreign Wars on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always good to be with you.
Director, we're getting to spring, and hope everything wintered well out there, and I'm sure that all our veterans enjoyed the ramp and the covered walkway.
You know, it was really our first year where we had that between the parking ramp and the facility, and I've heard, as I expected to hear, a lot of good things from veterans. And so it's a you know, I think we're all ready for winter to be over, but at least as long as we had to weather the winter, at least we had some reasonable cover walking between that parking ramp and the hospital.
Yes, sir. And I also understand that you've got another Veterans Town Hall coming up. Are those things working well for you?
You know, it's a chance for us to hear directly from veterans. And you know, they don't always, we don't always hear positive things, but it's okay. I mean, I consider it a good town hall if we're learning things and there are things that we can bring back and make improvements with. So our next one is going to be in Anoka, and that's going to be our 15th, and it's going to be at the American Legion Post 102. It's located on Main Street in downtown Anoka, and so what we're doing this time is we're going to take our 2 hours, and the first hour is going to be where we're going to talk about healthcare related issues, and then the second hour, the veterans benefits, the regional office, and the cemeteries are going to come in and talk about some of their programs and for our veterans and take questions, and they're helpful. I mean, they're good for us. This is, like I say, this is our 15th, and it's a good chance for us to hear directly. You know, we hear a lot of things indirectly. We get letters, and most of them are positive, but this is a chance to hear directly and to do some immediate follow-up on those questions.
So that's going to be March 26th in Anoka at the American Legion Post 102.
Yes, sir.
Director, I understand you've got an important 25-year anniversary coming up.
Yeah, so we have one of the oldest women's health clinics and programs in the VA, and so this is our 25th anniversary year, and so and we have about 6,000 women veterans enrolled with VA healthcare here, and that's growing every year as we would expect. You know, more and more women veterans, more and more female women veteran services here at the medical center. So it's going to be on the 26th at 1100 in our auditorium on the first floor in the flag atrium. And our keynote speaker this year is going to be Colonel Stuart Randall, Director of HR and Personnel over at the Air and Army, Minnesota National Guard. So she's going to talk about women's history in the military. So I am very much looking forward to that. And we're having a couple of exhibits associated with this. There will be some refreshments. And so, you know, the exhibits are going to be from 10 to 4 in our second floor of our flag atrium area. But for those who want to come and hear from Colonel Stuart Randall and discuss women's health issues or women's history in the military, we'd welcome them. I hope we can get as many women veterans and others who are interested in that topic to come. Again, that's March 26th, 1100, here in our auditorium.
And, Director, I understand you've got an event coming up for us Vietnam veterans.
Well, as you know, Tom, this is the 50th year anniversary commemoration, and so you are doing things, and we are too. And so one of the things we're doing is on the 29th of March from 9 to 2, again, in our first floor of our flag atrium, we're setting up some information tables to include better benefits and healthcare-related issues. VBA is going to run a claims clinic. But it's really intended, as much as anything else, to just recognize our Vietnam-era veterans, this is an important anniversary, and we want to be part of that. And so March 29th, 9 to 2, here in our flag atrium at the hospital.
Director, maybe you could save me one of those commemorative pins that you're going to have available.
I will absolutely do that, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I understand the major VA study of chronic pain was in the news in the last week.
You know, we are, so thanks for asking me about that. So we have a researcher who has worked in this area, both in women's health and chronic pain, these two areas, but much of her research has been in the area of chronic pain, and she recently completed a study which was published in the very prestigious Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, and effectively the results were that other non-opioid pain medications are as effective as opioids, but don't carry the same side effects as opioids. And so it is a groundbreaking study. And what's important is that, you know, to date there has just been very little research in this area. So it's been thought that opioids are an answer to chronic pain. Sort of we've gotten away from that over the last several years, and then now we have some really solid research, which validates that. And I think hopefully can sort of shape the way opioids are used nationally, not just in the VA, but nationally. And great coverage from not only from your station, but the Washington Post, New York Times, National Public Radio. Been a good national study and really important.
So, sir, that one kind of indicates that over-the-counter drugs might be as effective?
That's exactly what it says, without all of the bad side effects, you know, addiction, death. So yeah, it's really important, and I think again, to the extent that this can shape the way we're doing opioid prescriptions nationally, it's a critical national issue. Of course, everybody knows that, and so this is an opportunity to do something better.
That's great news, Director. Yeah. We're just about out of time. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Tim Wegshed, Derek Goodridge, Commander Rick Bugbee from the VFW, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, Commissioner Larry Shalloteau, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we hear from Minnesota's Marine Corps League and get the latest from our disabled American veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.